The older you get, the closer you have to bring your work to you. So, but I think I'm younger every day, the closer I get to 60. I can't believe what I was thinking at 18. But I'm reaching that era. How good it is to begin in your life to experience God. About 2 months ago, the church here that we rent from asked me if I would participate last night in their Easter service, and I said I would. And so they gave me, they go through every year the seven sayings that Jesus had on the cross. And they gave me this: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I'm asking us this morning, do we know what we do? Do we know what we do? We're going to find out today what that's like in that experience, your experience. Where are you at in your life? Do you know what you do? Reminds me of the story that I think we're all familiar with. Those that are young may not have heard of the story, but it's the story by a river in Southeast Asia. And there's a bridge that crosses that river, the River Kwai. It's a striking story that has just penetrated and pierced my heart so many times. About a group of men that were captured, and they were forced into building a railroad for the Japanese. And one morning they were called to line up. And every day they lined up, they counted shovels. And as they began to count, they discovered that they were one shovel short. And this irritated the commanding officer. And he said, if anybody here does not produce the shovel or they will not confess to taking the shovel, then I will shoot every one of you. No one responded, and so the commander pulled out his gun. And one man steps forward and he said, I took the shovel. So the commander put his gun back into his holster and took one of the shovels and beat this young man to death in front of all of his comrades. Stunned, these men looked on as they moved down the track. They recounted shovels and discovered there was a miscount on the shovels, and the shovel was there all the time. But the word spread throughout the camp of what happened. But what is interesting is these men were in disarray. They were not close. They argued. They were fighting amongst themselves until this point in time that they discovered that one of their comrades stepped forward. Stepped in to the place to give his life so that his friends might live. I love what it says. The men began to treat each other like brothers. When the victorious allies swept in, the survivors' human skeletons lined up in front of their captors, and then instead of attacking the captors, instead, they said, no more hatred, no more killing. Now what we need is forgiveness. Sacrificial love has transforming power. God is waiting for people to step to the plate. He's waiting for us to step up there and deliver experience, share, give transforming power. This morning he's wanting us to experience that kind of joy. Luke 23:34. Jesus is on the cross and he cries out in his first word, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them. What is interesting about the construction of this sentence is this, is that it is in the aorist tense in the Greek. And in the aorist tense, it means that it's something that has already been completed. So prior even to Jesus going to the cross, we're forgiven. The cross is not the single moment that transpires that shows us in our lives that forgiveness has realized it had already been given to us from the beginning of time, from the creation, from the foundation of the world. But what is more interesting to me is in the Father, forgive them, it is not a request, it is a command. Kind of struck me that it would be a command. But he's telling his Father, you got to forgive them for whatever they've done. It must be, it has to be part of this whole plan because you promised it from the beginning of time. I can't imagine, as I try to look through the eyes of Christ at times, and then I see myself, and my heart is sad and happy at the same time, that I have misrepresented him, yet his grace has forgiven me for that. In Colin Brown's writings, he says this amazing, amazing piece. Forgiveness takes the center place in the Christian proclamation as the means whereby this relationship is restored. Forgiveness. It stands as an action of God in the face of sinful behavior of man and is based on Christ, whose power to forgive sins is made known. And then I just love this next line. Forgiveness, listen carefully, forgiveness includes making of no account the sin which has been committed. It's gone. It's like a vapor. It's vanished. It's disappeared. There is no more. I believe he captured the idea beautifully in that last line. Forgiveness includes making of no account the sin which has been committed. Where would we be without the cross? Where would we be without the commitment of Christ to step up to the plate and say, I'm going all the way for this disgusting piece of humanity as we think of ourselves. But God's called us to change our minds. We're not disgusting. We're valuable. And the evidence of that is that he came to this earth to show us. And we've got to change our thinking in that area. We're not just some piece of particle that is living with some kind of existence. We are valuable people. We're important. We are his all and his everything. 3 points out of this statement. Number 1, forgiveness only is only as a result of an action taken by God. He cared enough to take action. What God is revealing to me is, do I care enough to take the same kind of action today? 2, forgiveness can only result because of Christ's power. And I want to tell you this morning, Christ's power is ready to be dispensed and given to each one of us. He's just waiting. My question is this morning is, what are we waiting for? I want to tell you, it's transforming power. It's power that is alive. The community of Henderson in Las Vegas is just waiting for a group of people to say, let us see that kind of power. And it's right here at our fingertips. The power to change. The power to do something different. The power can be realized, but you have to have faith, you trust, and believe that it's for you today and this morning, and you can have it, and we can have it. You can walk out of here this morning and have it. It's all based on trust. Do you trust Him enough that He can give it to you? And the wonderful thing is, it's a gift. You don't have to use any more money out of your bank account to get it. It's free. It's free. I love the story that Dan Ratzliff of the Christian Leader shared as he shared this thought. When the first missionaries came to Alberta, Canada, they were savagely opposed by the young chief of the Cree Indians named Maskapituun. He's not here, so he won't be hurt if I butchered his name. But he responded to the gospel and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The interesting thing is, a group of Indians from the Blackfoot tribe came in, and the chief killed his father. There's nothing like a personal loss. Deep inside, Maskapituun went to the Blackfoot tribe and demanded that he see the person that killed his father. Do you want to know what Christ does? Listen to this. He says to this man, face to face, eye to eye, nose to nose, you have killed my father, so now you must be my father. You shall ride my best horse and wear my best clothes. And I love the response. In utter amazement, the remorse, his enemy exclaimed, my son, now you have killed me. He meant, of course, that the hate in his heart had been completely erased. That's forgiveness. Folks, I tell you this morning, that is power. Amen. That is power. To us human beings, that's a foreign concept. Because it's our desire within, in our humanity, to get back and destroy. But it doesn't work. What works is transforming forgiveness. An unknown author penned this. Just lifted my spirits up this week. There is so much bad in the best of us. And so much good in the worst of us that it doesn't behoove any of us to talk about the rest of us. Let me say that one more time. There is so much bad in the rest of us, best of us, and so much good in the worst of us that it doesn't behoove any of us to talk about the rest of us. It's a work of art to apply that to the life. That isn't always the case in my life. Because there are times in our life we just don't know what we're doing. Because the human sin that has tried to envelop us, that has made inroads into our life, causes us to respond in unnatural ways. And God is trying to show us a natural, pure, unadulterated way to live in power. In the rest of that sentence, Father, forgive them for they, what is the next word? No. What is no? That's something that happens up here. It's a decision that you make. It's thoughts that roll around in your head. And as they come together, you act upon that decision. So, the reason that the people who put this man upon the cross is they didn't know. And so how could they be responsible for what they did not know? Knowledge was their way, their fuel that drove them to do what they did. And their assumption was that their knowledge was accurate. It was right. How could one man be so right in the face of so many? They asked themselves. And of course the high priest brought that out. We can't let one man destroy what we all believe is to be true. If the prophets gave it to us, it must be accurate. If the teachers have shared with us what the prophet has asked, then it must be right. How can this man go against what is really true? And their assumptions led him to a disastrous end. So does knowledge make it right? Does the whole make it complete? Father, forgive them, for they know. Let's rephrase that. Father, forgive us, for we do not know what we do. How do we know? Getting acquainted with Jesus Christ. The story that really makes that clear for me is the story of Stephen waxing eloquently in front of the Sanhedrin. He raised the inner emotions of this council to the point that they couldn't stand it any longer. In my mind, I can just see some of them doing this, not wanting to hear what he had to say. And finally, in desperation, they said, take this guy out, stone him. It's a dramatic story because it changed Christendom. Not long afterwards, a particular individual is riding on a horse to Damascus, and he discovered that everything he believed to be true did not fall into line in every category. That had to be an awesome experience to be on a horse and come, if you will, face to face with this man, the life changer, the man who empowers. Because from that moment on, through the transition of his life, even though he was trained in the best and the most quality that life had to offer, he had to do some rearranging of his thoughts because his knowledge was not completely accurate to that which God would want. I don't know, is God confronting you today? Are there areas in your life that you need to get real with Him about? We're all riding on our horses, and God, in specific moments in time, has confronted us. He's confronting you today. It was Thomas Kempis, a Renaissance Roman Catholic monk, that made this amazing, simple statement. Be assured that if you know all, if you know all, you will pardon all. What does that say about us? Apparently, there's a little bit more learning that we have to do. A little better understanding of the facts. Be sure that if you know all, you will pardon all. Brilliant thought. Brilliant thought. I tell you this morning, we don't know it all, but we're on the road to knowing it all. This phrase, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, transcends time. It goes forwards and it goes backwards. It comes right directly to its target into our hearts today. For the cry of our heart is, we do not know all. But the only way you will have clarity and understanding in your life is when you meet with Him. The best place to do that is at the feet of Jesus. And Mary knew that so well. Are you meeting at His feet today? Tomorrow? The next day? Are you getting to know Him for who He truly is and what He can give you? It is love that reveals to us an empty tomb. It is love that reveals to us our hearts. We have to make some changes. If we are going to be a people that represents God on this earth and live with amazing, undefiled power, the arrow has hit your heart this morning. And it was an arrow that had been shot and been there for 2,000 years. Father, you will forgive them. See, there's only one person that can make that kind of statement, and that's Jesus Christ. He can make that command or demand of the Father. You know why? Because He knows the Father. When we know the Father as Jesus knows the Father, we can ask anything in His name and it's there at our disposal. The problem is, folks, it is all about trust, faith. And the only thing He's waiting for you today to do is trust Him. Believe, and your life will change. It is that simple, yet that difficult. Because you have to surrender everything in your life. You have to stand in a line. And because your love of everybody else, the love of the one that's sitting next to you right now, is in your care. You are responsible. Because you are the light they may see for the first time and maybe for the last. That's the love from the cross. That is the love and the experience that we can have. I want you to listen to this song. Listen to the words. Listen to its intent. Because it's everything, it's all in all what has to become part of us. Let us take a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the amazing Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for forgiveness, not only for putting your son on the cross, but for not knowing what we should have done. It is our desire today, Father, that we begin to stand up and just let you know which side we're on. Lord, we're willing to reveal and experience the power that you are waiting to pour out for us. Make it happen. Live in our hearts. Not as we have been, but what you will now give us. Thank you for that. In Christ's blessed name, and God's people said, Amen. So good to have you here today. God bless. Forgive somebody in his name this week.
Amen. Amen.